pretty massive. Last week and this week, we're going to close it up this week, in which we're going to be looking at two 1969 stories that are really significant and important, and their spiritual applications. If you recall, last week, we looked a little bit at the 50-year anniversary of Edwin Eugene, or Buzz Aldrin's, walk on the moon, and how significant that was, and how the dynamics of the fact that he was a kid to an Air Force pilot, his mom's maiden name was Moon. I mean, that's pretty cool, right? He was one of the first to walk on the moon, actually the second. And we asked the question, what do you do when you've walked on the moon? What's next? I mean, a walk on Mars, maybe? I mean, there's not much beyond that. And if all your life is wrapped into those externals, it's only downhill from there. And although Buzz was a man of God and brought the first food and the first drink to the moon was communion, at the very same time, he wrestled with three divorces and an alcoholic addiction, a lot of challenges in his life. And my point last week was that life is real and complicated, and that it's real easy to become a sucker and to get focused on what's the face value, to get focused on the outside layers and to forget the more important part on the inside. We looked at how God looks at the inside of a person, not as much concerned with the outside. Looked at David and Saul. So go listen to the podcast on that if you missed it last week and catch up with us. What God is most interested in is the inside. Well, today, if we were to title it as How to Be a Tootsie Roll in a Dum-Dum World, might be a great frame. We're going to take the sucker theory a little bit different this week. Last week was how not to be a sucker. Don't take everything at face value. What you see out there is not all of the story. There's always more to it. And the inside parts are more important. So never focus on the outside. This week's topic, looking at another 1969 story, a really important one. This one begins with a young man who is out searching for some truth, a really important truth. And he is looking and he is looking and he can't quite find what he's looking for. And I'll let the video share the story. Push play.
Mr. Cow.
Yes?
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
I don't know. I always end up biting. Ask Mr. Fox, for he's much cleverer than I.
Mr. Fox, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
Why don't you ask Mr. Turtle, for he's been around a lot longer than I. Me? I bite.
Mr. Turtle, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl, for he is the wisest of us all.
Mr. Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
A good question. Let's find out. One, two, three.
If there's anything I can't stand, it's a smart owl.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
How many remember this commercial? 1969, right? This is a tremendous commercial that cycled for years and years. I remember it when I was a kid. That was the color version. The original was, of course, in black and white. But this question actually began in 1937. And it's a very important question. And it cycled through and ended up into this video and various other layers to it. But I think it's interesting. One, two, three, right? It's for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is a theologically rich sucker, and I want to give you some reasons why today. There are YouTube videos galore about how many licks it really actually takes. There have been entire creations of fake licking machines to test it. Purdue University did a major study on it. Harvard University did a major study on it. And the research conclusively says it's somewhere between 154, if you have a very slobbery mouth, apparently, all the way up to 2,500. The average is about 1,500. A lot of buzz around that idea. A lot of interesting thoughts cycle with that. But what's fascinating about it is the Tootsie Roll Pop has a lot of layers to it. But the most important part of the Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop is the Tootsie Roll, which is at the center. Ecclesiastes 12:13 was written by the wisest man that ever lived. God supernaturally ordained Solomon to be wisest that ever would live. And he did everything you could imagine, had all the money, all the resources. He explored life and at the end of it thought, what's most important? Is it this? No, it's not that. Is it this? It's not that. All this stuff is vanity. It's trivial. It's like a mist. It's like a wind. It just doesn't have the substance. It's missing something. And he concludes this entire story with this verse. And now all has been heard. And here is the conclusion of the matter. Now don't mistake. The wisest man that ever lived is now about to tell you this is the meaning of life. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole of man. Now, I know your translation says the whole duty. Duty is in parentheses because it's not actually in the text. It's the whole of man. All that is for a person is this. This is the meaning of life. This is the purpose of life. The whole of man. You might even think of it this way. W-H-O-L-E, the whole, sounds a lot like H-O-L-E. As if there's something missing. And the only way to fill that is to fear God and to keep His commandments. And if we don't fill that hole, we've missed something. It raises the exclamation of there's something missing in you. And it is perfectly shaped like God. Then it raises another question. Is there something missing in you? If so, it's shaped like God. The whole purpose of life is to fear God and keep His commandments. See, what happens is when we get the focus wrong, idols begin to crop up really, really easy. And there's a lot of risks when we start focusing on the outside of our lives. The surface stuff. The layers of the Tootsie Roll Pop, to carry the analogy out. When we start focusing on that, there are a lot of risks, a lot of dangers. See, one of them is this slow layering effect. How many licks does it take, right? Over life, it begins to slowly dissolve. And if you'll notice, all the beauty of the layers, all the walking on the moon moments, all the PhDs, all the master's degrees, all the marriages, all the promotions, all the strength, they begin to start sliding off. As the layers peel away, we start losing our past. Our memory is the first to go. And we start using sticky notes and calendars and pens, and we write stuff down 2 and 3 times because we just don't remember like we used to. And then it gets worse and the beauty begins to fade and we become bald. I'm convinced that God says He knows the number of hairs on our head. I think He got tired of counting. And the beauty begins to fade and the eye sockets begin to sag and the skin gets wrinkly. And the beauty starts to go away. That layer is no longer there. And then the present, we stop our stamina. The go-get-it energy starts to go away and we start needing more sleep, more rest, more pills, more vitamins. Our strength goes away, our ability, our muscles. I used to, when it came time for PT test, I needed 2 weeks. I'd just drop and give me 40 in a heartbeat, and within 2 weeks, I was back up to 60. I was ready to go. Now, I drop and give 18. I'm like, oh, it's all right. I got 2 weeks, and I work like a dog, and I'm up to 30, 35. It takes like 6 weeks to get back to the 50 range, and I don't know why that is. Why are my muscles not doing what they used to do? The strength is beginning to be peeled away with life. Walking sticks, knee braces become popular because you can't walk unless you have help and support. Creativity begins to wane. The ability to keep up, the ability to be relevant, the ability to know what's coming. And we look at something like a cassette tape. Anybody know what this is? Before it was 8 tracks and records. And then come CDs, DVDs, Blu-ray, digital. We soon lose our ability to be creative, to understand what the trends are. We start wearing Hawaiian shirts when they're way past their time. Tie-dye will always be in style, just for the record. Our situational awareness begins to wane. And in the future, we stop seeing very well and we start having to wear glasses. What happened? I can't see the future. I can't see the present. I can't see. Why can't I see? That layer is beginning to peel away. In fact, you could wrap it all up with this one word, potential. See, over time, little bit by little bit, we start losing our potential. There's a story told about creation that on the first day God made the dog. And he said, I want you to sit by the door of your house and bark at anyone who comes by. And I'm going to give you 20 years to do it. And the dog said, whoa, 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 whoa. 20 years is a long time. How about just 10? You could take the other 10 back. God agreed. On day two, he comes out and God creates the monkey. He says, I want you to entertain people, do tricks, make them laugh, be silly. And I'll give you a 25-year lifespan for that. The monkey said, whoa, that's a long time. How about you take back 15 of them? Or take back 10 of them and just give me the 15. And God agreed. On the third day, God created the cow. And he says, you're going to go into the field and you're going to suffer in the hot sun all day long. You're going to have calves give milk to support the farmer's family. And for this, I'm going to give you a lifespan of 60 years. The cow said, that's a long time to be out in the field. Could you take back some of those and just give me 40? God agreed again. On the fourth day, God created man. He said, I want you to eat and sleep and play and be merry and enjoy your life. And I'll give you 20 years to do this. And man said, that's not quite long enough. How about you give me all the extras from the cow and from the monkey and from the dog, and that'll give me 80 years. And God said, so be it. So that is why for the first 20 years we eat, sleep, play, and enjoy ourselves. For the next 40, we slave in the sun to support our families. For the next 10, we do monkey tricks to entertain the grandchildren. And for the last 10 years, we sit and bark at everybody who comes by. There's truth. Our potential is waning every day. And the scary part is that as this slow layering happens, as the Bible has told us so many times, as the old song says, sweeter grows the journey every day. If the center makes sense, when the layers peel away, there's a moment in which your potential is over and you're happier than when you began. But if at the end of the day you come and all of your sight is hindsight and all you have to look forward to is death, and the center is not right, all you're left with is fear, hopelessness, anxiety, stress. Like the old sign, no God, no peace. No God, no peace. Or my favorite version is, no God, no fear. No God, you will know fear. When the layers peel away and all that is left is the center and you have no center, there is nothing for you but fear. Now, I know that sounds a little fire and brimstone, but I'm talking about a sucker here. But I want you to think with me for a minute. What's it like when you're laying on your deathbed and all you have to look forward to is behind you? That is sad. That is scary. That is overwhelming. It's like the high school quarterback who still goes to the games in his 60s because everything peaked at 18 and everything's been downhill since. Sad. Or even worse, the person who left high school went and got all the PhDs they could, excelled in everything, and at the end of their life, with all their billions of dollars, they still die. And all of that is left for someone else. If there's nothing in the center, when the layers peel away, what do you have left? And then there's even more tragic ideas. Not only is it a slow layering, but sometimes there's a fast layering where Stanley shows up and his best friend Murphy. Murphy brings his law and Stanley brings his hammer. And essentially, Stanley represents 12 ounces of suffering. that will come down on you in a moment, because all it takes is one car accident, one cancer diagnosis, one family sudden death, one overdose, one divorce, one single active shooter. And suddenly everything changes. And those layers that you were hoping are going to take 70 years come off quick. And the center becomes exposed even faster than you expected. There's something really cool about the difference between a dum-dum and a Tootsie Roll, Tootsie Pop. For example, this video shows what happens when Murphy and Stanley meet dum-dum. Push play. Not much left. But check this out. If there's something at the center, like a Tootsie Roll Pop, it comes out a little different. You see what that is? When your center is solid, the cares of the world, the frustrations, the tragedies, death itself has nothing on you. You didn't know you could learn that much from a Tootsie Roll Pop, did you? It's something to think about, though, because when we focus on the inside, it changes how we live. I'd like to say it this way. If you're a God follower and God is not in your center, you're just like a Tootsie Roll Pop without a Tootsie Roll. You're just a sucker. And that leaves you a dum-dum. It's just that clear, right? Because at the end of your life, when you look back and everything is in hindsight, there's nothing to base your eternity on. There's nothing to stand on. There's nothing solid there. Because all you have is the layers that have slowly or quickly been peeled away. I told you guys, if you're older, you'd enjoy this sermon. There's a caveat to that. If you're older in Christ, you'll enjoy this sermon. Because you could think to yourself, yeah, my eyes are going. Yeah, my leg is going. Yeah, I got a lot of medicines. No hair. Been years. I get cold at night. I'm tired. I could do a couple push-ups. But you know what? I'm going to shed the body soon. And I know what I stand on. Because my center is in Christ. My center is in God. My center is eternal and it's solid. From the outside, we all look like suckers. Whether we're Buzz or whether we're Mother Teresa, we all look the same. But on the inside is what really matters. What have you done there? So how not to be a dum-dum? Always focus on the inside. Here's some things that I can do and you can do. Number one, invite Him in. If we don't start a relationship with God, we don't have anything to begin with. We don't have anything to walk towards. Invite Him in. Revelation 3:20 says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with that person and they will eat with me. We will be together if you invite me in." These are the words of Christ. If you invite me in, God says, "I will come be with you." But you have to invite me in. You know, we see all the time on television shows, whenever there's some demonic or witchcraft or some dynamic, there's always this thing about, you can't come into my house unless I invite you. And if there's a popular theme in movies, I don't know what that's about. I don't read anything about that in the Bible. You know what I do read about, though? If you don't invite God in, He won't come. You have to invite Him in. There needs to be some process in which you say, "God, I want you in here." And you have to use your mouth to do it. You have to use your lifestyle to do it. You have to put on Christ in baptism. You have to step into it and say, okay, this is officially my new way of life. And let the whole world see. The outward sign is of the inward change. And that's what's most important. Matthew 25, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was stranger and you invited me in. This is judgment day language between the goats and the sheep. This is important to God. He wants us to invite Him. Two, to invest in Him. Matthew 22. Then He said to His servants, the wedding banquet is ready. But those I invited, see, God does the first inviting, did not deserve to come. So go to the streets and invite as many as you can find. Many are invited, but few are chosen. God does the inviting and He wants us to invite Him. But once we invite Him, we have to go where He leads. There's an investment that has to come. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. When's the last time you've been silent for more than 5 minutes? In America, we don't do that very well, do we? I know you probably read your Bible recently. You might have prayed for your food. You might have done a bunch of things that are spiritual minded. When's the last time you were just silent? Just sat with God to see what would happen. That's an investment because it doesn't fit our culture. It's countercultural. And many other things, spiritual disciplines are all like that. When's the last time you fasted? Not a current thing our world does. Pausing and investing in time with God. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You just need to be still. I think that wisdom applies to today. This is a moment when God's people are standing before a body of water and the Egyptian army is coming up behind them and they're thinking, we're going to die. And Moses says, the Lord will fight for you. You just need to be still. Today we would say, chill out. Watch what God is going to do. Now, I know that these are slaves and they are not really understanding what's going on, and later God pushes them a little farther than just being still. And there's a pathway. We don't get to sit still forever. But there's an appropriate moment to sit still and let God do something in you, for you and with you. There's an investment you make by slowing down, letting go, to let God. Three, introduce Him to others. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, through us, God spreads the knowledge of Christ everywhere like perfume. We are the salt. We are the light. We are the ones who go into the world to make it a better place and to represent God. 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. That's inviting us in and connecting us. And He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making His appeal through us. In other words, we are now standing at the door knocking. We are now the ones saying, hey, can I tell you about something important? Because we have invited God in. We have invested in Him with time and energy, focused on that inside. And now we are called to go out and knock on other doors and say, hey, can I tell you about something? I want to introduce you to someone that has made a difference in my life. And I want you to hear me, because if you will invite Him in, He'll make a difference in your life too. Trust me. Watch this. Let me tell you my story. And I know that sounds so grandiose, but it's so simple. You just have to be yourself. The problem is, I think, I really do, is that ourselves are not really focused on the center enough. I think we're so focused on the layers. And layers are not just PhDs, master's degrees, and position. Layers are being at church every Sunday. That is a layer that is not important in the grand scheme. It is something that is counter to what God is most interested in. Being seen on Sunday morning is very different than coming Sunday morning to find God and to invite Him in, or to teach and to lead others. Or, there's so many ways to look at that. We come to be seen. That's why we dress up sometimes. Think about it for a minute. is so different than reading our Bible just to get through it for the year or to have a devotional. One of the challenges as a preacher, I need to read for me and not just to teach. It'd be very easy to make, okay, this is going to make a great message for y'all, right? But it doesn't do y'all any good if it doesn't do me good first. Because then I don't preach with the passion I need. I need to learn what God is telling me. I need to invest in me. Insight here is most important. And it's the same thing for you. Don't just learn something to tell your kids. Learn it because God is wanting to do something in you. Invest there. Sit with Him. Be quiet with Him. And a good old-fashioned Matthew 28. Go into all the world, baptize and teach. I mean, it's pretty simple. We are called to go change the world. It is part of who we are. Today, I want you to take a Tootsie Roll Pop. Got a whole pile of them back there. You're welcome. These are awesome. Here's the thing. The world may never know. How many licks does it really take? Let me interpret that for you today. How many days do you have left to live? How many months and years do you have left to live? Because those layers are peeling away. And you might meet Mr. Al or Stanley. And those layers go quick. No one will ever know except for God. Today may be your last day. Are you focused on the center? Because if you're a God follower who doesn't have God at your center, you're just like a Tootsie Roll Pop without a Tootsie Roll. You're just a sucker. It's real simple. And I want to challenge you as you eat this week. Think about that. All you're going to be taking like little baby licks so you can make it last as long as possible. You go do that. That's awesome. I think that's good to be wishful thinking. But I need you to understand, if the center is not on God, all the layers are going to peel away, and all you're going to have to look back on is fear and hopelessness and anxiety. But when life happens to a Tootsie Roll Pop, the Tootsie part survives. The Bible is very clear that what we do spiritually, I've got proof, by the way. Here's what you saw in the video. But when you come inspect it, it's still got its shape. It's incredible. The Bible says that what we do in our spiritual selves, the investment in God that we make, the turning the other cheek moments, the disciplines, the times that we sacrifice and don't tell anybody, where the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, the time that you buy that person a meal and nobody knows, the time you pray for your enemy and they never know. When you do those things in secret, the Bible says God sees that. And you are rewarded for it. It's something you can count on in heaven. Even a cup of water given in His name, the Bible says, will not fail to lose its reward. There's a lot to be gained by just quietly, inside, secretly, privately, loving with God and inviting Him and investing in Him. And then telling others of your experiences of doing those things. Don't be a dum-dum. Take care of your insides. You know, I'll end with this thought. Maybe you don't know this yet. Maybe you do. Do you realize how deeply God loves you? Do you realize how consistently present He is? Do you realize how many times He's opened doors and windows to give you opportunity for fresh breath? He wants that fresh air to come into your lungs. He is walking alongside of you. He's looking for these moments. He's giving you these miniature little lessons. Just moments to pause. And the whole time He's just saying, just listen to me. Just try it. Test me. See that the Lord is good. Be still and you will know. Come take my yoke. My burden is light. You will find rest for your souls. God's entire agenda is to try to find a way to connect with your heart. And He doesn't care about church. He doesn't care about what clothes you wear. He doesn't care about your education or your money or anything else that's going to stay here when you go to the next world. The only thing he's concerned about is all those things pointing towards and developing your center. And I'll leave you with this phrase. If you're a God follower without God in the center, then you're like a Tootsie Roll Pop without a Tootsie Roll. You're just a sucker. Don't be a dum-dum. Let's focus on what matters the most. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your graciousness and your presence, and your love and your mercy and your kindness. Father, I don't know what you are trying to say today, but I pray that you would speak through me in spite of me, Lord, and that your message would be clear above my voice, that people would block me out and only hear you. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would convict us of sin and move us and pull us and push us and bring us to a place of humility and honesty. A place that allows us the safety to invite you in to lead us. Lord, I pray if anyone is here today who's needing a nudge in a direction, that you would do that. And that you would provide them the resources to make the first step. I thank you and I praise you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing. And if there's a way that you need to respond to the Lord today, we will have shepherds in our prayer room, which is right outside here to the left. If there's something you need to say publicly, you can talk with me. But let's stand together and sing.